Well, here we are. This is session number 37. We are thinking on the subject matter, It Was He Who Gave. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. The Apostle Paul again here refers to himself as a prisoner to the Ephesians. Remember, this type of prisoner is like that of a bond slave. It is by his own choice. Satan enslaves by trickery against the will. God has people serve him because they understand who he is and serve him out of the bond of love. It's very important to remember that Satan dominates and God draws. But Satan dominates. Satan enslaves. That is not the way God does it. So you have to keep this word prisoner that Paul is using, as we talked about in the other sessions, you have to keep this in perspective. And then Paul talks about, well, he urges the Ephesians to live worthy. Now, actually, the original word for that is axios, which really means appropriately or worthily, because it's an adverb. It is only Christ who ever makes us worthy, but we can live appropriately or worthily. There's a very subtle but very important difference. And you've heard me talk about that when we were at the table of the Lord on that word worthy, which is actually worthily. So he urges the Ephesians to live worthily or appropriately according to their calling. Each believer, yes, if you're a believer, you too, each believer has a call from God to fit into the whole body of believers, which is the body of Christ, to fulfill their function or call. That's what your call is. It's your function within the body. Paul talks of being completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, there are times when you just have to bite your tongue and keep unity in the body. But it is worth pointing out right here that there are times when there may be disputes over some matters which may require the standing firm on a matter, such as when Paul confronted Peter regarding circumcision, and certain others regarding the causing of discord or heresy within the body of believers. There is really a false teaching in the body today that anybody in ministry and that any Christian is supposed to always be icky, sticky, gooey, sweet to one another. Well, I would point out to you that Jesus at one time, now, he was talking to the Spirit in him, but he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." That probably would be thought of as not a very pleasant thing to have said to you, particularly in public. And another time, he was being asked about John. This is after his resurrection. And he says to him, "What's it to you if I want him to live forever? What's it to you?" Now, there are people today who would practically want to defrock somebody for using that tone or saying that to someone. So the idea that we have to be doormats for people is not exactly there, but we do need to be patient with people. But there are proper times when you just sometimes have to sort of put the hammer down. But you don't do it out of meanness. You don't do it out of ugliness. You don't do it because you're trying to hurt that person. You're doing it because that needs to be stopped. And Jesus had no problem with confronting people about it. He even confronted Judas at the Last Supper. Knew what he was going to do. Said, "Hey, I know what your plan is. Now, go and do it. Whatever you're going to do, just go do it quickly." He exposed him right there. Now, the other disciples didn't understand where he was going, but Jesus did. And later then they understood, you see. So this idea that you can never allow truth to come out in public, That's not necessarily so, but there are some truths that just need to be overlooked. That we just need to, there's none of us that is so pristine that we couldn't stand to be shown a little grace by other brothers and sisters in the body. But I wanted to touch on that for a minute for you to understand that we're not to become each other's doormats. And if somebody is continually making a doormat out of somebody else, then somebody in leadership will have to step in and say, hey, look, you need to change that. And they may not like it. But that's one of the ways you do keep unity. If you got everybody just in each other's throats and they're allowed to get away with it, you're not going to have any unity in a group. You know, there's kind of a joke that goes around the body of the Christ where people just kind of grin and go, I love you with the love of the Lord. You know, which means, I really don't like you, but I'm going to pretend like I do. Well, that's hypocrisy. But we do need to be patient with one another. We do need to be understanding with people. But there are times when we just have to be firm. And those times come. And Jesus demonstrated that, and Paul demonstrated it. You know, how much more embarrassing do you think it could be than for Paul to call you by name in a letter that circulated to a bunch of churches? He did that on more than one occasion. This is something that frankly, the modern Western church has sort of ignored in the scriptures. And I'm not saying that people should go around just being mean to one another, but I'm saying there are appropriate times not to be mean, but to just... You've got to make a stand. This is what has to be in order for certain things to happen. I mean, Paul even said when you should kick a person out of a fellowship. Well, that's probably going to be a time when there's probably going to be some pretty nasty feelings going on among people when something like that would happen. But he didn't talk about just doing it willy-nilly. And his main focus was on, working together, being humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another in love. Now, Paul, in verse 7, brings out the point that grace is more than our salvation. You know, well, let me touch back on that in just a minute. But he brings out that grace is more than our salvation, but that each of the gifts of function are also grace given by God to each believer. These gifts are not something we earn, but gifts from the throne of God to be employed in God's kingdom. The number and type of gifts are apportioned and given by Christ's will. You know, so it doesn't do you any good to say, well, I wanted that gifting there. To say I wanted that gifting and I didn't want this gifting is really a slap in the face of the Lord. If he's given you giftings, those are the ones that you need to grow in. Otherwise, frankly, you're being rebellious. Now, I talked about these were gifts of grace. I want you to understand that many people have heard that grace, and it's absolutely right, grace is the unmerited favor. Is an unmerited favor, and it's the unmerited favor from God in this instance. But it's more than just for salvation. That's what many people have heard, that it's the salvation grace. But the gifts that you're given by God, those blessings are gifts of grace as well. And notice what the scripture says. They are apportioned and given by Christ. That's where they come from. That's who gives them. So rather than mumbling and grumbling like the children of Israel did in the wilderness, we need to say, thank you, Lord. We may not have quail, but we have manna, and we're thankful for it. That will cause you to grow in spiritual things. And one day you will have quail and you will have no sickness come with it. Then there's an interesting thing that Paul says here in this scripture. This giving of grace is so powerful. He talks about leading captives. He says he led captives. And I want you to see just how powerful the giving of grace is. That when Jesus the Christ descended into hell to take back that which had been stolen from the first Adam, Jesus being the second Adam, that had been stolen from the first Adam, He also led captives to whom he had given grace and brought them out of that place, and they went with him. Now that is powerful. You talk about resurrection. They skipped this life then after that. They went straight with him, just as one day the dead in Christ will rise and they'll go first, and then those who are alive will go after that in the twinkling of an eye. And these followed Jesus the Christ from that place in his train as he ascended on high. There is no place. There is no place. Now listen to this. There is no place where Christ can't free you. You can sink to no depth at which Christ cannot restore you fully. No place. No place. And one place in this scripture, Paul talks about filling the whole universe, that he went above all the heavens. And he said in verse 10, you see, is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Well, that kind of goes beyond this planet, doesn't it? The whole universe. He's got a plan that we don't see yet, but he's got a plan. Then Jesus gave some to be. Paul also makes it clear that there are some believers to which he has appointed certain gifts for the preparing of, to quote him, God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, to end the quote. So he has some people that he has given to be those people who are appointed with certain gifts for the preparing of God's people for works of service. It is to be a unifying building, not by who's who, but by each believer doing their function. Remember what I'm saying there. Listen to this. It's not by a group of who's who's. It is if you will just allow your gifts to be built up in you that you have been given, you will be fitted into the body, doing your function. And this purpose that these people have been given gifts for is for maturation in the works of service. We all have to mature in things. In anything you do, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's baking a cake, driving a vehicle. I don't care what it is. We have to mature in that. You know? Remember when you first, if you drive a vehicle, remember you first drove and it seemed like you had to remember so many things, and then in a short time you could go all the way across town. Couldn't even remember how you got there because you'd be thinking about other things, but you were just able to, you were able to do that driving and get yourself there. I will tell you that if you will be taught, and if you will listen to, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, if you'll listen to those who God's given gifts to help in the maturation of the body of Christ, you will find yourself just as a lifestyle, as easy as that. Now, I'm not saying all of life is easy, but I'm saying you will easily be able to maintain your function because it will be second nature to you. You see, you'll no longer be an infant. You know, infants are of little service until two things occur in them. One, growth. I mean, if the person's body never grew, and I've seen children like that, their bodies never grew. I was so embarrassed one time when a fellow that I knew and his wife were someplace socially where I was, and they had their little baby there, and I was making over the baby, and I said, "How old is this baby?" And they said, 5. I thought the baby was about 6 months old. But the baby stopped growing. And at 5 and 6 years old was still like a little child because their body stopped growing. So we have to grow. We grow physically. Two, we have to have maturation take place within that growth. Maturation within your growth. We can all understand how unfortunate it is when the physical body of a person comes to adulthood, but their mind remains at a preschool level, or even an adolescent level for that matter. These people would be tossed around by every wind of teaching. Because why? Because you haven't experienced maturation within their body. Their mind and their understanding has not matured. This is why the truth must be spoken in love by the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to help the immature become mature. And that is Scripture. That's not saying they're better than anybody else. That's their function. Just as you have a gifting and a function, they have a gifting and a function. Now, some people may choose to think that they're in the who's who. I certainly don't see it that way. We all have our functions. And God expects us to function within those gifts that Christ has apportioned to us. So if we find ourselves being upset because somebody can do something we can't, or because they have some form of authority that we don't seem to have, everyone has the authority of the believer, but there's also authority within the body. There's also authority within the body. If you didn't have a thumb on either hand, you couldn't grasp anything. I was talking to a man from India and Bangladesh who was talking about people who used to make this, I'm trying to think of what the fabric was, muslin. And when the British came in and took over, they didn't like the competition. And these people made the finest muslin in the world. So do you know what they did? They cut off the thumbs of all the people in that colony who made muslin, so they wouldn't have to compete with them on the world market. And as a result, nobody in the world today knows how to make the muslin that they made, because there wasn't anybody to teach it to. Did you? Who would want to learn it if your thumbs were going to be cut off? You see? So we need to be glad for what we have and the giftings we've been called to. And we need to do everything we can to function within those and not be envious of somebody else's. Do you see how they damaged other people by their envy of what they could do? You will damage the body of Christ if you are envious and try to attack somebody else's gift because you wish you had it. If you will just take the gift that you have and do it, and you've heard me say this before, okay, maybe you think it's a small gift. Maybe it is a small gift. But Christ does the apportioning. Man does not. And what does Christ look at? It's the same as tithing. He looks at the percentage. If you have a small gift and you're doing 100% of it, and somebody with a big gift is doing 80% of their gift, guess who's ahead? The person with a small gift is. Because that's the way God looks at things. And we have to understand that. And we have to understand that that's why God set the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers into the body, is to prepare the individuals within the body for works of service. So if people say, well, I don't need anybody but just the Holy Spirit, well, then they're saying, God, I reject your gift of the apostles. I reject your gift of prophets. I reject your gift of evangelists. I reject your gift of pastors. I reject your gift of teachers. And what they're saying is, God, you stand aside. I'll be God, because this is the way I think that the body of Christ should be run, because I think I could do a better job of it than you can. I would not want to be that person. I would not want to think like that. That could be a very dangerous way to go. But you see, that person would be an immature person. A mature person is thrilled when anybody gets a blessing. An immature person is envious and covetous. A mature person is not. An immature person says, well, how come you got something and I didn't get something? That's what an immature person does. A mature person says, oh, how wonderful. Oh, I'm so thrilled for you. You know? Now they might say, I've always wanted one of those, or I've always wanted to be able to do that, but that's different than saying, well, how come you got it or got to do it and I didn't? Very different. Very different. Very great difference in maturity. All of this comes from Him. Who's Him? From Christ. All these good gifts come from Christ, and they're apportioned by Him. It is from Christ that those submitted to fulfilling their gifts will be fitted to function within the body of Christ for whose glory? His glory. Everything we do is for His glory. If we raise Him up, He will draw us to Him. The scripture says, if I be, you know, lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Him up and let Him draw. Lift God up and let Him draw. It is from Christ that those submitted to fulfilling their gifts will be fitted to function within the body of Christ for His glory. And that's my teaching for this session.